there's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It's time. Bears hit. Two words with Mark Grody. He joins us now, and our segment with Mark Grody is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing. If you got an emergency, call the plumbing professionals available 24-7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Segment also brought to you by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, and the fine folks over at Fireplace and Chimney Authority. Visit online or in their Elmhurst or Lyle showrooms. Groats, we got a lot of work to do. Before we get into what was said, would love to know what you thought about how everything went yesterday.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's just such a when the Hail Mary is caught, and you know, before we've even seen what Tyreek Stevenson has done and where he was out of place and multiple guys being out of position, it is the most helpless feeling in the world. The finality of a Hail Mary where there is nothing you can do about it. Washington ain't bailing you out this time. You know, there's no review for this. There's no holding penalty. A touchdown is not being taken back. So it's almost like you feel like you've been cheated in the moment. There's got to be something to bail us out of this moment. It's the biggest no in sports, and Bears fans were victimized. Like media was victimized. Everybody, the players were. It's just, it is so harsh the way it ends, Speaks. It really is.
You know what, Groats? I just realized that we were denied the joy that the rest of the football universe had if they happened to be watching it live. Like I was watching Michael Westbrook in Colorado against Michigan when that happened live. I'm old enough. I was watching Doug Flutie hit Gerard Phelan against Miami live on a Saturday evening with my dad. It's like, I mean, those moments, people who are watching this live will probably, and we're not heartbroken Bears fans, are going to love it. And we didn't have any of that. We just had the freaking misery.
The Bears almost had one last year. I had to think about it, but there was the Darnell Mooney miss in the end zone from a year ago, if you guys recall.
Cleveland?
Yeah, I think it was Cleveland, and there was some criticism Darnell Mooney's way. A lot of people thought you should have caught that ball. And I remember it was Cole Kmet who I think was defending him because he was like, "Yo, it's chaos. It's a Hail Mary. Bleep happens on the play." But in this case, there was so much that went into this, and it is. The whole game was very disappointing in terms of the offense not get going. If it wasn't for some monumental moments justifiably that we're talking about today, and we'll probably get into it more tomorrow and throughout the week, it just wasn't a good day for the offense. It was not a good day for Caleb Williams on this day. And I also, seeing Jaden Daniels up front, I get it, man. That guy is really, really good. So those are just some of the other things that I'm thinking about as far as this game went.
So what's the aftermath of all of this, Groats?
Yeah, I think we have to start with Tyreek Stevenson. He did speak to us. Everything was done on Zoom today. Media was not out at Halas Hall, which works well for both parts with a road game. They've been doing that this year, so nothing to read into with that. But let's hear from Tyreek Stevenson. He apologized to his teammates in one of the meeting rooms today out at Halas Hall for not being ready at the beginning of that devastating Hail Mary, a play on which Stevenson was supposed to be boxing out Noah Brown. He's the guy that caught the Hail Mary pass. Here is everything Tyreek Stevenson on that play.
The only regret I have from yesterday is just letting this team down from, you know, working hard and coming back and putting ourselves in a W column, and you know, just for me to be out of place and, you know, do something that's out of character of me and just, you know, cost us a loss. So my focus is on this building and how the people in this building feel. I understand there's anger. I understand, you know, somebody ticket. I understand that the things that go outside of the building that could you know, possibly affect how somebody feels and all that. But, you know, to be honest, I'm worried about the opinion of the building. And you know, if the, you know, these guys got my back, and that's how I'm moving forward. The play was, I posed a box out 85. That'd be the play was, you know, cheering on, just cheering with some Bears fans. When taunting, no fans. It was just cheering with some Bears fans, and the Washington fans reacted how they wanted to. My job was to box out 85. And, you know, when I went up to hit the ball, it's pretty much to knock it down, you know, interceptions, and, you know, especially in a close game like that. So either could have went, oh, Tyreek, you know, good pass, knocked down, or in, we're in the situation we're in right now.
To the coaching side of it, Tyreek, what have the coaches said, and have, beyond telling you you shouldn't have done that, are there any consequences for it beyond that?
I don't think there's no consequences as of right now. We haven't met with the coaches yet. We've been going over film and doing walkthroughs and trying to get everything corrected. So honestly, I can't give you no details on that.
Eric, Mark asked you a couple minutes ago about consequences. Being part of this team, when the standard is violated, what is the sense of accountability? What should be the accountability from one teammate to another in situations like this?
Pretty much what's going on now. You can't do nothing. You can't take back the game. It was yesterday. I understand the emotions and how everything flared up, but pretty much anything that a teammate could do is pretty much just point out the problem, address it how they feel it. And, you know, if I don't respect that teammate, then I take it a certain way. But I respect all these guys and I love all these guys. So all I can do is take it on the chin and, you know, let them boys know that, you know, this won't ever happen again. They ain't got to worry about, you know, me playing out a character like that again.
Wow. So we'll see what Matt Eberflus does, if anything, but he's saying that the culture is good enough, or at least his teammates are good enough, that they will hold each other accountable just the way that they have started to. It's hard to believe that. One quick thing from the beginning there, where he says he's only worried about the opinions in the building. I'm not worried about anybody with a ticket. Does he mean a gambling ticket? Does that mean like he already got reached out to?
Or is he talking about fans? And their tickets.
Oh, fans
to the game.
With tickets, perhaps.
But I will also say that we could probably call, you know, BS on that, because what did his apology say? His apology didn't say just to the guys in the locker room. He said addressed it to fans too.
Well, so. I should clarify too, or maybe, I don't know if this is needed or not, but the original spirit of the question was, how are you handling the hammering that you're taking basically right now on social media from us, from fans? So I guess it does involve everybody, but that was sort of like, how you doing? How you dealing with all this? I will also say that I don't know where you guys land on this, but I know there's been a little bit of consternation about it in terms of, I mean, that's why I asked the question, like, is there going to be some sort of discipline or consequences? And the more I've thought about it, I do think that Tyreek Stevenson, having apologized to his teammates, showing culpability and remorse on Twitter, and the fact that he is getting hammered by the world, that he has to live with this, the pride hit, I imagine he was pretty embarrassed about it. So I don't really know what you do in terms of discipline. I don't want to see Tyreek Stevenson sit out next week against Arizona. I don't know, maybe for a series, just to make your point known and just show the team. But at this point, I don't know that some sort of discipline does him or the team any good.
I think he should sit. I think he should sit for at least a series, maybe a quarter, a half. It depends how much you want. Terrell Smith is active and healthy, so that's a good player. But I think he should lose a game started in the column, and I think something public like that would have an effect.
Hey, if the captains on the team agree with that, I would be down with that. Otherwise, it hurts the team.
Yeah,
so why should everybody else have to suffer? He is your best. He is your second best cornerback by a mile on this team.
You might end up hurting the team twice because of that. So I don't know. Like I'm not as geeked on the idea of he has to be punished in a demonstrative way.
I think that you have failed to this point to build a culture where everybody knows this kind of thing is unacceptable. You have failed. You have left it in the hands of the players and shown yourself to be a pushover or a player's coach to the point that you're not a hard ass. I think you are handed an opportunity and you need to establish where the buck stops. And I think that's a way that you can do it.
A texter with a great point. Him looking and talking to people with tickets is why we're in this situation. That is an excellent text, 708 texter.
Yeah, it really is. A point of clarity, you know, as Matt Eberflus said yesterday about whose responsibility was, he was vague. And then today he said that Tyreek's responsibility is to box out 85, who's Noah Brown, who ends up behind the play and makes the catch. There could also be somebody in the role of savior, which is somebody who's just supposed to be behind the pile. Yeah. But either way, Tyreek is admitting to you that it's not his job to go up at the high point of the ball and knock the ball down. That was Kevin Byard's responsibility, which Matt Eberflus spoke to today. Byard goes up, knocks it down. Tyreek's job was to box out Noah Brown, which meant he would have stayed with him and been wherever he was, Grody. But that doesn't complete the sense of responsibilities on the play.
Right. We got to complete the triangle. Three sides to a triangle. There is more culpability. And Kevin Byard fills us in on that part.
Again, you guys obviously have seven defenders back against four receivers. It sounds like you've got the four receivers manned up. You're the guy responsible for jumping. Tremaine is up front doubling on McLaurin. And then is there supposed to be another guy specifically somewhere?
You know, it's something we do practice throughout the week. Every week is a little different because as far as Tremaine, who's the double guy? So he may be aligned on whoever's the double guy. Obviously, McLaurin was to the single side where Jalen was. And, you know, that's also something that we kind of didn't execute right because they were supposed to be flipped. Even though he ended up getting to the double guy, Tremaine and Elijah Hicks were supposed to be flipped. And so Elijah is supposed to be the back guy because it's supposed to double McLaurin in the front. Elijah's supposed to be, you know, kind of the back tip guy. But at the same time, obviously Coach spoke about it already. Everybody was pretty much boxing out. 85 was the guy who obviously caught the ball at the end. He was not being boxed out. I'm supposed to be the jumper. I'm supposed to kind of have a free, you know, jump, kind of like volleyball, to tip the ball back down. And even looking at it from the film, and I felt it during the play, obviously it was a long developing play. I didn't really have an opportunity to jump, honestly, because I think it was 85 who was kind of pushing me from behind. So I couldn't really get a clean jump. You know, at the end of the day, you know, it's a tough way to lose. You never know what's going to be the play. But I always kind of look at it whereas though, like, we shouldn't have been in that that situation in the first place.
Lawrence's football sensibilities have just gone through the ringer listening to that. Lawrence, well, what are you thinking?
Talk to us, Lawrence. Talk to us.
I just want to say, for the record, I love that there has been this much transparency in the Bears locker room this season. I am concerned that there has been enough finger pointing on different elements of this Bears team that we might be headed towards this team falling apart.
I mean,
that's what I'm feeling.
There was, in that cut alone, there was three other people who did the wrong thing. Three other people. And yeah. Byard's pointing it out. Is that an old pro being honest? Or is that an old pro pointing fingers?
Look, he's got the credentials to do it. He is one of the most decorated players on their team. I am astounded at the level of honesty in that is coming out of the Bears locker room at assigning blame to what went wrong. I'm not used to it, and It's freaking me out.
You know what, Grody? It also, it makes the lack of a timeout before that Hail Mary,
yep,
or at the 6-second mark, that much more egregious. Look how much chaos there was. That not only was Tyreek Stevenson doing what he was doing, Elijah Hicks and Tremaine Edmonds were flipped and were not in the right spot. Kevin Byard was clear on what was supposed to happen, but many other people were not.
Yeah, and Eberflus just kind of breezed past that today, and that's the one thing. Like, I get it. Like, if you're the head coach, you are defending your team, you're defending yourself, and he knows what's out there, so he's not wanting to admit that particular error or the possibility that a timeout would have been good in that situation. But that's the one thing that I wish he would have been like, yeah, that's on me. I probably should have taken a timeout.
I probably should have used one of the three timeouts that I had.
Yeah, three of them.
Yes.
Exactly.
Because you weren't going to, you don't get extra points. You don't get bonus points. You don't get like a gift card. you know, afterwards, because you have three timeouts that you get to take to like Shoney's. And that's not.
A texter says, I think the play would have worked out better if Tyreek just kept talking to fans. Because if Tyreek doesn't get in there, maybe Kevin Byard could knock that ball down.
That's true. Tyreek Stevenson in the official box score does get the assist, by the way.
But he is saying that Brown was pushing him in the back, which.
Yeah, yes.
Stevenson would have been boxing him out, which apparently was his job.
Yes.
And maybe he could have gotten to his job earlier if he didn't spend 4 seconds with his back turned to the line of scrimmage.
He didn't even think about doing his job, though. He didn't even look for 85. Like, that was his responsibility. So, no, you're of course right. That's why it's designed. So then 85 wouldn't be pushing Byard in the back, and he'd be able to jump and do his thing.
It may be a whole new world. And I hope that it turns out great for the Bears, that all this honesty is being shared. Which brings me to, like, can we go back to the play before the Hail Mary and talk about that and get honest about that?
Yeah, we talked a lot about that today with the various subjects today during our Zoom, including the gentleman you just heard from, Kevin Byard. And you're talking about the Terry McLaurin 30-yard play right before the Hail Mary.
13 yards.
Oh, yeah, you're right, 13. That's right. It's a baker's dozen. Eberflus essentially letting that happen or downplaying the importance of the extra yards. Obviously, it makes for an easier throw for Jaden Daniels. And here's what Kevin Byard said about that.
I had a discussion with Flus about it. He has his feelings about it. You know, I think it's a lot of different ways you can defend those plays. You know, me personally, I think that in that scenario, possibly could have had the corners pressed up there because they just ran two outcuts and the play was called just to get a couple more yards to throw it down the field. If you had the guys pressed up, maybe they convert to verticals and they actually run the Hail Mary. But even if they do that and our corners run with those guys, he doesn't have I'm not saying he doesn't have the arm strength, but you think about the ball maybe landing 10 yards shorter and it may be a little different. I'm not saying that we don't know. It's always, you know, looking back at it, woulda, coulda, shoulda. You know, at the end of the day, you know, things happen the way it happened. Could we have sent pressure? Maybe, you know what I mean? But he made the call and, you know, that's what it was.
When you discuss that with him, is he receptive to your side? And were there other players who were kind of thinking the same thing along the same lines that you were?
No, I mean, I just brought it up. I was just kind of discussing it about it. But yeah, he's receptive. Of course he is. You know, I feel like he's been receptive of all the leadership and the things that we've had to say and things like that. And I wasn't bringing up to him like, hey, we should have did this or whatever. I was just kind of going through it, just saying like, I guess looking at from future references, you know what I'm saying? If something was to happen like that again, possibly that's a route that we take. But, you know, he was, you know, obviously receptive. And, you know, Flus been doing this for a long time, obviously longer than me.
Man, it's good that they're talking, Lawrence. It's good that they're having these conversations as the players continue to coach up the coaches. All year long, that is a theme. The players coaching up the coaches with their better information, Groats.
We need Mercedes. Now, Mercedes Lewis is resting right now. But he's 40. But maybe we need to talk to him again. maybe we need to.
He needs to go to the defensive locker room.
Oh, man.
That is some down-home honesty.
Yeah, right, it really there. Is.
And that's what, honestly. That's why, like, Speaks brought up the chaos in the locker room, losing the locker room. This is why I don't think that's going to happen. I think that, you know, that be careful what you wish for and put together, Matt Eberflus, when you have eight captains walking around that locker room, all of them with their own form of power. They're not going to let this, you know. I don't know where the team goes from here in terms of wins and losses and on the field, but I cannot imagine that with all of those veteran voices that this locker room will be lost unless the leadership council starts to not get along. But honestly, I don't see that happen.
Yeah, no, I mean, they've got eight captains, you know, and Eberflus just kept talking about it. They got eight dudes, and one of them's going to be on this show in about 40 minutes. We'll talk to Jalen Johnson about exactly that because, yeah, they've got to rise up and take care of this business here.
Groats, let's continue with this caravan of honesty. What else do we need to know from what the Bears had to say today?
I have one more honest man, and I got to tell you, Cole Kmet. Look, he's always been affable and a good guy with the media, and you know, he won the Jeff Dickerson Good Guy Media Award, but he has stepped up his game in terms of his critiques and being a captain and using his voice for better. And he had a big, he's going to talk about Tyrique Stevens and everything that went down, but listen carefully to the bigger message that Cole Kmet is putting out there.
You know, unfortunately in that scenario, like he's a guy, you know, gets caught with somebody with a camera and obviously the result of the play that happens and all those type of things. But I think it's a really a good lesson for everybody to learn from in terms of how to respect the game. And I think we had examples of that throughout the game and quite frankly, throughout the week of practice this past week where, you know, there's moments where maybe some guys lay off here and there. And those are the type of things that can happen when you do that for just a split second. And, you know, it doesn't always come to bite you in the butt, but when it does, it hurts. And that's the unfortunate. And I would also say beauty of this game is that, you know, you disrespect it in a certain way and it'll come to haunt you in some form of fashion. So I think it's a learning experience for everybody. We all play with a lot of passion. Tyrique plays with a lot of passion and we all love him for that. But there's definitely a respect level of the game and knowing that you got to finish it out until those double zeros at the clock.
Wow.
Okay.
Respect the game and people laying off during practice. What happened to Loafs?
Well, and the irony here is that last week, I don't know if you guys remember, they made a big deal about, it was DJ Moore. We've got the audio. DJ Moore talking about how the walkthroughs have gotten way more detailed. Mm-hmm. And so, but apparently there was, you know, and we haven't even mentioned it because, and people probably don't even want to hear this because it would be an excuse coming off the bye week. I mean, obviously they were not back to the form that they had discussed prior to the bye week about taking those, the walkthroughs seriously and paying attention to details. And there was more. We don't have time to play all of Cole Kmet, but he further clarified that it's not just on the practice field. He's talking about in the weight room and are you doing that extra rep? As he said, when it is dark and nobody is watching, what are you doing? What are you doing to make yourself better and make this team better? And obviously Cole Kmet was questioning that.
I don't think Dan Quinn's team has that issue. I don't think Dan Campbell's team has that issue. There are a lot of good coaches in this league who set up systems and checks and balances and players know where the buck stops, know who the boss is, and know that they're going to get called out if they don't do stuff. Thank you, Cole Kmet, for an extra level of honesty that instills an extra level of terror.
He knows where the bear stops, not the buck, the bear.
Are there nuggets and tidbits for today?
Well, there wasn't a lot of nuggets and tidbits falling off of the meat of today, but I will tell you.
Yeah, because that meat was falling right off the bone. You didn't really need.
Yeah, they're big chunks, man. Well, the little ones will get throughout the week, but yeah, I mean, Braxton Jones may miss a week or two because of the knee injury. That is per the NFL Network. Matt Eberflus did not provide clarity today on the injuries. He just was honest in saying that he doesn't know, so no further details on any of those other injuries at this point. And for one day, I guess I understood that because of the massive issues that went on in this game. So that's all I got today, boys. I'll be on at 6 o'clock tonight, talking Bears for 45 minutes. So I'll have more by then. And I know you guys have Jalen Johnson coming up next. I can't wait to hear what he has to say.
Incredible Bears report, Mark Grody.
Staggering.
Extremely illuminating. Thank you so much for your hard work.
Bars.
That was a something. 312-644-6767 is the number. Yeah. There was a lot of honesty being thrown out there. Would love to know how you feel about it. And we also need to have a discussion, a summit, if you will, for this show on...
Why? Everything's fine.
Yeah, real fine. Still going with that Packers pick.
Well, that's not what you're even talking about.
I know.
Pick a lane. You're going to go after me. Pick one thing at a time.
All right. Got any stickers to put on your mini fridge?
I have some ideas.
Yeah, I got one too. We'll share that along with getting your reaction to that Bears report next here on The Score.